So as we remain standing, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would give us hearts and minds open to hear your voice and wills to be obedient. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please do be seated. So to begin with, an apology. So if you were here last week and the all-age service, when we were looking at heaven and we all had bits of paper that said a little aspect of heaven, apologies, I failed to mention chocolate, okay? I was brought up afterwards. Jackie said to me, you didn't mention chocolate, so apologies about that. And Helen and Rob, bacon, I'm really sorry, but I did use the Bible version. Okay, so, and the Bible didn't have explicitly chocolate. It didn't explicitly have bacon. However, again, if we could just have the PowerPoint on, please. Thank you. Again, in the Bible, it said, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. So, we don't know everything about heaven. And it's hard to imagine something so delicious as chocolate, as bacon, not being in heaven or whatever your favourite food is. It's likely to be so brilliant in heaven, we perhaps won't even give those things a second thought. But we'll have to wait and see. We're going to continue to think a bit about heaven today. We're going to look at the reading from Revelation. And then we're going to ground it all in the here and now as we look at the bit from John. Heaven is something to look forward to. It is a promise for those who believe and trust in Jesus. And we experience some of that now here on earth as part of God's mission, as part of God's kingdom. And it will all come to fruition when Jesus comes again. So we're going to look at the Revelation passage first. So if you want to follow that in your Bible, it's on page 1250, if you want to follow it, Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 22. Thank you. So Revelation is a book of hope and a book of warning. So I think if we go on to the next picture, brilliant, thank you. And the hope, which is a promise, is a certainty, is that Christ will return. So John describes the visions that he has, explaining what it's going to be like in heaven. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and all believers will live with him forever in peace and security. Things that we can't really get our hearts and our heads and our minds around. But God is all-powerful. Satan has been defeated. But Revelation is also a warning. It is a warning that false religion will be destroyed. It is a warning that those who have not accepted Christ as their Saviour will face eternal punishment, although God is the only judge of that. And Revelation is also a warning if we've become lukewarm or casual about our faith. We need to resist temptation and we need to make loyalty to Christ our top priority. So from that passage, a few more little snippets that we can learn about heaven. John says that heaven is a place, thank you, without a temple, because God won't be confined by any one place. In the Old Testament, God's presence was symbolically perceived in the Ark of the Covenant, and it was then in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. But in heaven, things will be different, and the change has already started. The change started when Christ was born, when we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus as that baby, Emmanuel, God with us. And then as the Holy Spirit came after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, God's people, that's you and me, became the temple of the living God. But what we experience now is only the first fruits of what we will experience in heaven when we see God face to face in all his fullness. And heaven is a place of intense light provided by God himself, shining from his glory, God's intimate presence with his people. And because of his light, there is no dark. And because there is no dark, there are no gates of the city that shut. On this earth, the gates round cities used to be shut at night for protection. But in heaven, there won't be any need of that. And in heaven, there will be no more fear. The people in this city are the ones who've accepted and trusted the work of Jesus as their Saviour, and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As we think about this glory, as we think about this light, we sort of sense an echo of Isaiah's words as he was prophesying, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Just a few glimpses of what it will be like. But as we move into chapter 22 of Revelation, we see some of the blessings that those people who are there will experience. Thank you. There's the river of life. Sorry, I'm not sure how clear that is. There's the river of life flowing from the throne, and God will bless his people. The river of life is pure and clear. It produces an abundance of crops. So like that prayer that we prayed today, as we think about Rogation Sunday, it will, and it will produce an even better crop than anything you can imagine. The whole of nature enjoys the perfect restoration of Eden. And if we think about Paul's words from Romans, all of creation will be liberated. But the river in the city doesn't go out of the city, because all the redeemed people are in the city. And that tree of life, it has 12 crops, indicating perfection, indicating an abundance of bringing life permanently to the people of God. And healing here means health giving. There is no need for healing. Everything is healed. So the healing means health giving. And the fact that in this city there will no longer be any curse, that's a reference back to God's judgment on Adam and Eve. That's when pain and suffering entered the world, and that's when they were banished from the Garden of Eden. And that meant that they lost their intimate relationship with God. They lost access to that tree of life. But heaven is a restoration of the Garden of Eden, and it's even better, again, like the crops that were produced, it's even better than anything we can imagine, anything we've read about. And all of this will go on forever and ever. We know in Genesis 3, when Adam was still in the garden, that if he'd eaten from the tree of life, they, Adam and Eve, would have lived forever. And this is now what's going to happen in the New Jerusalem, as people are reunited with God face to face. Just a small glimpse of heaven. But even with the words that we've read, even with some of the pictures of people's imagination, there is no way that we will get anything close to what it's going to be like, and it will be even better. But it is a hope. It is a certainty that we can have. It is a promise. We don't know when it'll happen, but we need to be ready. And it's lovely, isn't it? It's lovely to wait and watch and think about that promise that we have in heaven. But we also need to balance that with making sure that we have our feet firmly planted on earth as we wait. While we're waiting for Jesus' return, we are part of God's kingdom here on earth. And while we wait, we know that God has got work for us to do. We know that he'll equip us. And in the John's Gospel that we heard just now, that tells us some of the things that God wants us to do. Again, if you want to follow that from John's Gospel, it's page 1082, the bottom of page 1082 onto 1083. In that passage from John, we see that obeying Jesus applies to everybody who loves him. So I'm presuming we're all here because we love the Lord Jesus and we put our trust in him. And so if we do that, we will want to obey what Jesus has said. Jesus himself obeyed the Father, and he willingly took on coming to earth and taking our sin. But loving Jesus isn't just a sort of a feeling. Loving Jesus, agape love, is an attitude. It's an action. Jesus' action in coming to the earth, in dying, in taking our sin. And it has to be an action. Our loving has to be an action. And we can love because God loved us first. So if we love God, we will do the things that God wants us to do. And we do the things God wants us to do because we love him. We don't try to earn our salvation by working for God. Our working for God is a response to God's love for us. And we can only manage to do that if we love God. So how do we love God? Loving God, loving our neighbours as ourselves. And that involves telling other people about God. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, and we celebrate Ascension this week, there'll be a service here on Thursday morning, an Ascension service with the regular Thursday morning communion. But just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." How do we tell people about God's love? Well, John's already mentioned one way that we can tell people is Alpha. We've got an Alpha course starting in a few weeks' time, and that's a great opportunity to tell people about Jesus. In fact, if you give somebody an invitation, it means that you've already mentioned something about Jesus or something about church, and seeds have already been sown. And those seeds won't just be in the words that you mention, they'll be in your actions as you get alongside people and as you show that you care. Please do pray for Alpha, for people to come, for people to be invited. However God wants to use you or me, we know that in our own ability, we are unable to do what he wants. However much we love him, in our own strength, we cannot do what he asks us to do. And so from that John passage, we know that Jesus was saying that the power of the Holy Spirit, thank you, Phil, the power of the Holy Spirit, the counselor, will come and help each one of us, and will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit was going to remind the disciples of all that Jesus had taught them. And so their record, the record that we now have in the New Testament, is a trustworthy account of all that Jesus said and did. And that same Holy Spirit that came for those disciples is there for us each day, helping us and equipping us and teaching us. I wonder how many times you might have been talking to somebody and you hear yourself say something that really wasn't part of what you thought you were going to be saying. And you realise that actually that sentence you've just spoken is spot on. either identifying a situation or in some sort of acknowledgement of what's been happening, and you realize that that is a God-given moment of inspiration. That's the Holy Spirit working through you. Or perhaps as you're talking to somebody, a verse from the Bible springs to mind that is really helpful. That is the Holy Spirit working through you. Or suddenly you find that you have got time to go and visit somebody or go for coffee with somebody. And that is the Holy Spirit enabling you to be able to do that. The Holy Spirit equips us and works through us. So we all have the Holy Spirit helping us to share the gospel. And then we also have God's peace. In all the difficulties of living life for Jesus in this world, we have that promise of God's peace, a unique and supernatural reality. Jesus was promising the peace to his disciples. They were going to suffer persecution, but they could still know Jesus' peace. People today who suffer persecution can know the peace of the Lord. And even when we go through tough times, we can know the peace of God despite the situations that we're facing. I know for myself, when things are tough, if I dig down under all those layers that I've put on, all those layers of worry, I know that God's peace is there despite the situation. And I know that God will equip me to cope with whatever life throws at me. And that peace develops more as we surrender more and more of our life to him. There's a saying that sort of ran through my mind at the beginning of this week about being too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. And when I sort of did a little search on the internet, I could only find that Johnny Cash had sung a song, and it included those words, which I didn't think was desperately relevant. However, one day this week I get Scripture Union notes, and they pointed out on Thursday that it's actually those people who are most conscious of God's heavenly rule who are actually most use here on earth. We need to have a balance. We need to know about heaven. We need to look forward to heaven. And we need to enable that to help us live life for God here on earth. So let's be heavenly minded. But let's also be doing God's will on earth. And I pray that that will be the case for each one of us, for God's glory. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for that promise of eternal life, that promise of heaven, something that we only have a glimpse of, we only partially understand. Father, please help us as we look forward to that, and help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to be obedient to your will as we share your love with those that we meet day in and day out. Father, thank you that you equip us. Thank you that you give us your peace. May all that we do and all that we say bring you glory and honor, and draw people closer to you day by day. Amen.